Remain standing as we read the scriptures together. And our text will come from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse 16. These are verses we're actually coming back to next Lord's Day morning, and so we're only going to look at really four words here. Galatians 5 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Coming together around the Lord's table, I wanted us to think together about the Holy Spirit's ministry at the Lord's table. What specifically is the Holy Spirit doing as you and I take the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians in order to preserve their spiritual independence, in order to preserve them from the poison, the infection of false gospels parading under the name of Jesus with religious language. He's writing to immunize them against those false doctrines which would only destroy. He has written at length on justification by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, that you are declared not guilty. You are accepted in the Beloved, not because of your own efforts and works, not because of your own performance or rank, but solely because of the performance and rank of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His work alone. Thy work alone, O Lamb of God, as we sing, not what my hands have done. But His work alone is sufficient to secure your standing before Him. Christ has done it all. All to Him you owe. Sin had left that crimson stain, and He has washed you white as snow. And having been cleansed, having been purified, having been perfectly, fully justified, you could never make yourself more acceptable to God. You could never make yourself more justified than you already are. Having been fully and perfectly, freeingly justified solely by the work of Jesus, the Son of God, how should you and I then live? We live as the adopted, free-born sons and daughters of Zion. We live as the adopted children of Christ, children of God. And He says in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." The Christian life is a walk. It is a walk on particular paths. Not just any path, but on the path which has been laid with loving and gentle hands. Walk, He says. Just as Enoch is described in Genesis chapter 5. How is Enoch described? Enoch had walked with God. Noah is described as a man who had walked with God. The prophet Jeremiah cries out, "Stand in the way and look and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." The Christian life, it is a walk down a particular path. And on that particular path, there are boundaries, there are markers, there are statutes, there are promises. There are roots and ruts and hills and turns and bends, and at every single step of the way, you have a gentle bridegroom who is right there with you by His Word and Spirit. Walk, He says. How are you and I to walk? Look at verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God. Y'all, everything in the Christian life hangs and pivots on the Spirit of God. Everything. You're being made new. You're being born again. Your understanding of Christ. Your love of Christ. Your ability to love others. Your ability to deny self. Every bit of it comes from a divine, heavenly power. We are a Spirit-driven people, which means we are led, we are renewed, we are led by the person of the Trinity. We're led by the Spirit of God. Walk by the Spirit. Your path is one that is driven by a supernatural being, a supernatural power. You and I, we have eyes that see. We have eyes that have been opened, ears that have been unstopped. You've been drawn into this new way, this new life. How? By the Spirit. And it is the Spirit. He uses the truth. He uses the truth to sanctify you, to make you new, to make you whole. Now, all of that being said, what is the Spirit's ministry at the Lord's table? If you and I are to walk by the Spirit, that includes in our homes, our occupations, our praying, our preaching, our singing, and our gathering around the table. What is the Spirit's role? What is His ministry at the Lord's Supper? At the Lord's Supper, this is what an ever-kind, gracious, providing Father, this is what He has given to you. At the Lord's Supper, given to you for your provision on that particular path. Remember, the Christian life is a walk. It is a path. And at times the path is hard. And it is steep. And the gravel is loose. And what does He do? He provides you with these little arbors to pause and to provide you with exactly what is needed. What is the Lord's Supper? It is Christ's appointed provision for weary pilgrims. Now, what is the Spirit's role? What is His ministry at the Lord's Supper? This is not merely an intellectual activity. It is not a mere ritual. There is another dimension at work. What is the Spirit's role at the Lord's Supper? And really what I want you to hear is that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to seal the promise of union. Union with Christ. At the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit descends from another world and He seals the promise of union with Christ. What is offered to you in the gospel? What is offered to you is Christ Himself. And in fact, if you are not in union with Christ, you have no life in you. What is the Holy Spirit's work? His work is to seal the promise of union with Christ, to make it vivid so you can taste, you can touch, you can even sense the savor. You can savor union with Christ. He takes these very plain elements. And what does He use them for? He uses them to vividly, through sensible signs, appealing to your senses, persuade, and convince you of your union with Christ. Now, the elements are not Christ himself. They are used under the Spirit's appointing to drive you to him, to point you to him. I say walk by the Spirit, and that includes when you come to the table. What is the Spirit's role? He seals the promise of union. Okay, what has the Apostle Paul said? Galatians 2, chapter 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. The way Jesus will describe it with very pointed language in John chapter 6. And he's not speaking about the Lord's Supper when he uses this language. He's not speaking of a mass. He says, unless you eat and drink the body and blood of the Son of God, you have no life in you. John chapter 6, 51 through 56. Now, what is Jesus doing there? That imagery of eating and drinking the body and the blood of the Son of God. What is Jesus doing? He's not endorsing the physical eating of someone's flesh. He's not referring to the Lord's Supper or the Mass. What is he referring to? He's pointing to this vital truth that unless you are in union with him, unless you abide in him, unless he is your food, he says, you have no life in you. What is the gospel? What is the message of the gospel which the Spirit persuades and convinces and enables you to believe? What is the gospel? It is that Christ is offered to you. What is the language of the Lord's Supper? What does Jesus say? This is my body which is given for you. He's not talking about the bread. He's talking about himself. What is the gospel? Christ is given to you. Yes, there are benefits. There are riches which he bestows. Justification by faith alone. Adoption into his household. Sanctification, he purifies your character. He is laying up a heavenly mansion. He's preparing a place for you. Yes, there are riches and glories untold. But y'all, they don't compare with the central offer of the gospel. What is the offer? What is being gifted to you? What is the language? Christ himself. What is the Spirit's ministry at the Lord's Supper? He powerfully convinces you of this fact that Christ is offered to you. So much so, the Apostle Paul, when Paul is discussing marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, and he says, quoting Genesis, that the two become one, well, then he applies it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. You know how he speaks of our union with Christ? The language Paul uses? He says we are his body. We are his bone and flesh. It's hard to get stronger than that sort of language. That close of a union. That we are the body of which he is the head. What is the Spirit's ministry? Just as a king would seal a letter with his ring, the Spirit of God uses the sacraments to seal the Word of the Father, the Word of the Son, the Word of the promise. Now, how can this be? If Jesus, the Son of God, is now ascended at the right hand of the Father. If he is now in glory and you and I are on earth, how, it's not a stretch to use this language, how in the world how in the world can you and I be in such a close union with the Son of God? What is the Spirit's role? He's sealing the promise of union. Now, how can that sort of bond, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, how can that sort of union take place? Walk by the Spirit. And the way the 16th century reformer and pastor John Calvin put it, Book 4 of the Institutes, Chapter 17, he uses a very curious phrase, that the Spirit is able to unite things separated in space. Now, you let our understanding of the world, what we see, our notions of time and space, you let Calvin's words sink in. It's almost like the veil at the Lord's Supper is being peeled back just a hair. The Spirit is able, through a heavenly power. And Calvin says, these are truths we cannot understand. What Jesus says at the Lord's Supper, that His body is given to you, and that you and I are bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. These are truths you and I cannot fully grasp. That the Spirit is able to unite things separated in space. The Spirit is aware of our weaknesses. Our faith falters. We slip, we fall, we incur wounds. Some of those wounds are inflicted from outside. Some of them are self-induced. But what does the Lord do? He speaks to weary, faltering children. And just as you and I would speak with an infant, the Lord of glory descends and He speaks to us in our frailty. And how does He do it? He uses the table. He uses images. And He uses this image. Walk by the Spirit even when you are at the table. He uses ordinary bread, ordinary wine, and they remain ordinary bread and ordinary wine. And He uses these very common elements to persuade, to convince you, to seal, to actually seal it to your mind, seal it to your affections, that just as much as bread and wine nourish the body, even so Christ is food for your soul. So as you and I take the elements, as you reach for the bread, as you reach for the cup, as you eat and as you drink, you look to Christ. Where do you look for whatever is needed? You look to Christ. He is the one. He is an enfleshed Christ. With what sort of Jesus do you and I enjoy fellowship? He's not just an abstract, vague sentiment. No, He is a person. He is a living, breathing man clothed with flesh. The Son of God has entered into time. He has taken on human flesh. With what sort of Jesus do you and I enjoy communion? It is an enfleshed Christ. You look to Him. You look to the Son of God incarnate for everything that you need. Every possible hole, every conceivable lack, from His fullness, He is able to give. And He doesn't just give gifts and benefits, He gives Himself. What is the Spirit's role with the Lord's Supper? He lifts your head to look to Christ. You look through the elements. Our trust is not in the sacraments. They are in Christ, the one to whom the sacraments point. And oh, does this not show you how urgently, how desperately we need the Spirit? That nothing happens without the Spirit? If the Spirit is the one who unites us to Christ, if the Spirit is the one who makes us new, if the Spirit is the one who binds us to the Son of God, you know, we need the Spirit more than anything else in this world. So you lay yourself out. And if you and I who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Father in heaven know how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You look and you cry out for the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit even as you take the Lord's Supper. Now, but last, y'all cherish the sacraments. Delight in the sacraments. Delight in these things. Christ's appointment. Delight in them. Not because there is inherent power in them. Delight in the sacraments because of the close tether that is tied between the Word and the sacrament, between the promise and the visible sign. There is a close tie between what you see and what it represents. We're Christians. You and I have been made sons and daughters of Zion. We have been made citizens of the household of God. You and I are children who are given seats at the table. And He spreads the feast. And this particular meal, this particular feast, what does the Holy Spirit do? He lifts your affections toward heaven. He lifts you upward to seek the things above. And He promises, you have a gentle Savior, a heavenly bridegroom who absolutely delights to hear and to see the voice and face of His beloved. Our faith falters, and so He uses something we can taste and see. Walk by the Spirit. Sit in His shade. Feast on His goodness. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we would look to You, the one who has authored our every good. You are the one who fills our cup. We have no good apart from You. And so we pray, Lord, that You would train us in the art of walking by the Spirit, of pressing on this particular path laid by loving, gentle hands. Lord, when we do slip and falter, we pray that You would sustain us as You do here at this appointed arbor. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.